Every weekend on Sunday afternoon, I organize different walks in Sydney. We started off with 20 members 2 years ago in the meetup group. Now we've got 2,500 members in the meetup group, and we've done around 70 walks. So, for example, in India, people would love to talk about cricket all the time. And if you talk about cricket here all the time, after 5 minutes, they'll start talking about footy and rugby. Because if you don't have community at a new place, you can't think of living or working or even thinking of calling it a home for a long run.
Hello and welcome to the Brand My Career podcast. I'm your host, Alex Cutterford, and I'm so glad you're joining me today. My goal is to help you take ownership of your career, find your people through personal branding and networking, and take career-enhancing action. Managing your life and career can be hard. That's why every fortnight I'll be releasing an episode where I interview a diverse range of guests that will help you find clarity and build confidence in your career. Let's get into it.
Welcome back to another episode of the Brand My Career podcast. We've got Saurabh on today, and he is relaxing. It's a Friday afternoon. If you're not watching, he's sitting back. He's got his wine. He's ready to wind down for the day. And I was just explaining that I'll be getting my drink shortly after I finish up this episode and head into town. So, looking forward to having a really great chat. And thanks for coming on, Saurabh.
Yeah, too easy, mate. It's a pleasure to be on your podcast and looking forward to a great discussion.
Yeah, so Saurabh's in tech sales, but he's also the host of the Ultimate Global Podcast. And he also does a bunch of great initiatives in networking and stuff that we're going to dive into today. But I was keen to start off, Saurabh, if you could maybe give us a bit of an overview of your career journey. What's led you to what you're doing today?
Yeah, so I've been in Australia for the last 5 years. I landed in Australia 5 years ago to pursue my master's in international business from University of New South Wales, also known as UNSW Sydney. And the whole purpose was to study something in international business and international relations because I've got a keen interest towards that. So I started studying that, and on the side, I also started working for a startup. So I was working for a startup while I was studying, and that was the first time I kind of experienced what tech sales or technology sales or SaaS sales, whatever fancy term you might want to use there, looks like. Before coming to Australia, I was more into consulting. So I wanted to actually enter into a consulting role and probably target one of the top tier organizations in Australia after my graduation. But maybe the fortune had something else for me. I started applying for a lot of consulting roles in Australia, and everyone rejected me because I was on the wrong visa status. So I was on a student visa. And one of the guys told me that maybe you should not look at the large companies because they're rejecting you on the basis of your visa status. Start targeting the smaller ones or the ones which are the mid-tier companies, which are a lot of companies. And a lot of them have got hidden job market because they don't post out on LinkedIn all the time or Indeed or Seek. So what they would do is they might just meet you at a networking event and you might find a founder or co-founder who have raised money recently, and you might just have a conversation with them and say, "Hey, I'm an international student looking for a job in these domains. Would love to work for you. I would love to work with you and learn something new." So that's what happened with me. I met this founder who was selling a CRM system, and he offered me a role, which wasn't a paid role initially for the first 3 months, and then it became a part-time paid role. And I was involved in a lot of student activities while I was at UNSW. So I was on the academic board of UNSW back in 2021. I was also a very active member on the postgraduate student council in UNSW. So I'm trying to make sure that while I was studying at UNSW for those 2 years, I can make every day and every opportunity that comes across me count, so that when I graduate, I have got enough network. And a large community to rely on in case I'm looking out for jobs. So That was what I was doing in 2021, you know, advocating for students and becoming a student voice, top student voice at UNSW. And that was something which I kind of found really a strong interest in at that point of time. And then in 2022, I found this job at a company called Zensai. And I started working for them as an SDR, as a sales development representative. Later got promoted as a sales executive last year. So I'm still working with them for more than 2 years. And on the side, I've been running my own side hustles as well, or you might call it as passion projects. One of them has been a podcast, which I started around 3 years ago, where I've interviewed around 140 people. A lot of them have got great stories to share, and they have been a mix of people from CEOs to founders to politicians to salespeople across ethnicities, across nationalities. And again, that's just coming out of my interest of knowing new people, picking up something new from them, and just learning new about different cultures. Again, going back to my interest of international relations, international business, because I'm very keen to explore about how different cultures operate, how do they work, what can I learn from them, things like that. And second, one of them was a meetup walk. So I started with the meetup walk concept 2 years ago. So every week, every weekend, on Sunday afternoon, I organize different walks in Sydney. We started off with 20 members 2 years ago in the meetup group. Now we've got 2,500 members in the meetup group, and we've done around 70 walks. People just enjoy doing these walks because I feel Sydney is a really good city. And not only Sydney, Australia has got really good trails. Yeah. If you're a nature fan, if you love exploring nature, if you love hikes, and you can just find a like-minded group of people to walk with, nothing better than that on a Sunday afternoon. So that was the whole concept. I thought, instead of just exploring by myself, why not find a group of people who also want to do similar activity to me? So let's start putting out walks and see if anyone turns up. So initially, two or three people used to turn up, and then it kind of exploded into something big. And the third thing that I was doing is coffee catch-up. So coffee catch-up is something which I started 1 year ago. So I'm just doing it with a selected group of individuals who share good stories on LinkedIn, and I feel inspired by them. So I will just message them and say, hey, if you're in Sydney, let's meet for a coffee and see if we can learn something new from you. So that's what I call as a part of a personal brand. I put all these elements and in your personal brand, be it your job, your coffee catch-ups, your meetups, whatever you are doing, I think that becomes a part of your personal brand, because when you start putting these things out on LinkedIn, people will recognize your personal brand, and then personal brand has got different elements to it. That is the product that you are selling as your job. That is the kind of things and passion projects you're doing on the side. So whenever people need help or people think that I need some help on my podcast, they would try to consult you because they consider you as an expert in that field. So that's what I've been trying to do. I have been successful to some extent, and there is still scope to grow. You don't stop learning anytime. So
yeah, I've
been doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think you're doing a really great job. You know, even when you reached out to me, and then I was, you know, looking into you, and immediately I could see, I was like, I wanted to talk to you about the networking piece, because I could see that's something you've put a lot of intention into, and definitely it does start to then feed into that personal brand piece of even just being known as someone that is that connector and someone that can, you know, bring people in and that you can just have those positive experiences with, you know, that instantly someone can understand you in a different way. Because if all your LinkedIn profile says is you're a tech salesperson, like, they're not going to know that you want to go for a Sunday walk and connect with people and all that stuff. Like, instantly someone might have a completely wrong preconceived conception of what a sales tech person is like and what their personality is and stuff. So, I think it's a really powerful thing. I was keen to go back, and when you were talking about, so you're applying for those jobs, you weren't quite getting them because of visa barriers. Which we'll chat about that a bit more as well. But you talked about how you went back, you found that founder to get that first job. What process did you go through to find that person if they weren't advertising online? How did you find that opportunity?
Yeah, so it was a mix of two things. Of course, I attended a networking event, and I was very proactive in attending a lot of networking events at that time. So because I was new to Sydney, I didn't know anyone. I didn't have any family, no friends. So when I landed in Sydney, I didn't have anyone here that I could just go to and ask for a job because I didn't have a relationship or rapport built with anyone. So I think the first thing was just to attend a lot of events, go out and be bold. And just expose myself in the world. And I knew I'm going to face a lot of challenges because I'm coming from a different culture. I'm landing in a different culture where people might have different etiquettes, different sort of stuff they want to talk about, different sort of stuff they like. Maybe I don't like that stuff. So, for example, in India, people would love to talk about cricket all the time. And if you talk about cricket here all the time, after 5 minutes, they'll start talking about footy and rugby. So maybe if you're meeting somebody in Sydney, getting a bit of a knowledge around what's happening with Sydney Swans or what's happening with the rugby team and start having a conversation with that, it just sparks interest and you just catch their attention in the first 2 minutes. The moment you do that, the moment you have caught their attention, that's the time when you'll start talking about other things. What else do you do outside of this, by the way? Because then they're interested in you. The moment you start talking about things they are not interested in, you know, they might start yawning or they might find another partner there to talk to. So it's just the basic way of talking to people in different cultures and what they're interested in doing. So that was one thing, networking. And second thing was there was an organization, which I'm sure still exists. It's called Intern Match. So they generally help people who are international students or students. They can help you link up with potential founders or new founders. So I took some help from them as well because I came to know about them through one of my friends, and she said that, you know, there's an organization which is helping you link students with founders. I said, well, that's there's no harm in that, and I would be keen to attend it. Now, there can be two ways of approaching it. You can always say, well, I've never heard of this organization. It's not a big organization. I'm not going to waste my time. And the other way can be, you know, just give it a shot and see what happens. If nothing happens, that's all right. But if something happens, if you find some people who can be relevant connections to you, why not just continue conversations on LinkedIn and ping them up afterwards?
Did you find, because you're talking about there, how you're coming to a new place, you got no established network, no friends, no family, do you think that actually drove you to be far more intentional in building that network that maybe you wouldn't have if you had that more established network already inherently?
Look, I think it's a very difficult question to answer because it will be just an assumption. If I was born here and if I already had a network, then why would I go out and look out for new people? But the scenario that was presented in front of me was that I was new to a city, coming from a different culture. And I was never like this. So I was never a very extrovert person. I was never a person who would go out and talk to new people. This is something which I developed after coming to Australia. This is a trait which is very new for me. It is something which I developed 5 years ago when I landed in Sydney because I thought it was a need for me to learn that. If I don't learn that, then I'm going to struggle to form and build a community in a new country. And if I want to make it a home in the long run, it's going to be impossible for me to call it a home if I don't have any community. Because if you don't have community at a new place, you can't think of living or working or even thinking of calling it a home for a long run. But I'm glad I've done all of those networking things, which kind of then helped me to get a permanent residency in Australia last year. And in fact, just today, I applied for my Australian citizenship as well. So I've gone through those stages of being a student, being on a temporary visa, being on a bridging visa, being on a permanent residency visa, still on that, and now applying for the kind of the final step, becoming an Australian citizen as well, and living in Sydney for 5 years, which is great. I formed a great community. I've got a lot of people that I know in Sydney now. Sometimes even more than locals, I'm connected to a lot of people because of the initiative and a different sort of mindset that I try to adopt in situations. It's to grow every day and invest in my personal growth, try to meet new people. And I'm big on community building, so always trying to meet new people, make genuine connections, which really helps me out.
Yeah, no, it's it's really impressive, actually. And but the reason I asked was because it's very similar for me. Even just having recently moved this year from a country town out in New South Wales, and I was moving to Newcastle, and for me, I had grown up in that town, and so a lot of my professional network had sort of this naturally evolved because I already knew people in the community, and I leaned on that a lot for work. And then when I was getting ready to move, I was realizing, oh, I'm not going to have that anymore. I've got to be really intentional about this. And so that's where, and so I started a podcast and got that up and going and got really intentional on LinkedIn, which at this time last year, I think I had about 12 connections, and I'm about 1500 now because I just got that intentional drive now to be on there and connecting with people, building relationships and finding people that either I align with in our professional capacities, or it might just be you're finding people with similar values and stuff that are on their own career journey, and you're learning from each other and connecting and stuff. And so it's been really good, and I definitely don't regret it either. So it's been a 5-year journey, and like you just said there, there's been a lot of different stages that you've had to go through with your visas and this sort of stuff. How have you found that process? What have been the challenges, and do you see there being as a what have been the opportunities or the strengths that have come out of it? Maybe that's the learnings or opportunities. What's that journey been like for you?
I think first of all, because I moved out of my home country, I think that was the first step which I took to come out of my comfort zone. Because the easiest thing for you, whenever you're sitting in your comfort zone, is to just stay in your comfort zone. Don't come out of that bubble. And I feel like a lot of people who sometimes are not able to grow or think a bit differently, one or two of the reasons is that they are just sitting in their comfort zone in their own bubble, and they just don't want to burst that bubble because they feel, oh, if the bubble bursts, what will happen? Well, the maximum it will happen, you will fail. That's it. And second thing is consistency. So whenever you do something, you do it consistently. And one of the examples I shared it a few days ago with one of my meetup walk attendees. So he was asking me that he wants to set up a meetup group for volleyball in Wollongong. And he joined my meetup walk and he said, how have you grown your meetup group from like 20 members to 2,500 members? I said, there's no trick to that. I was just doing it consistently over the last 2 years. I was just putting out walks every weekend. Sometimes 3 people turned up, 4 people turned up, 10 people turned up, 70 people also turned up in one of the walks from Coogee to Bondi. So you don't stop. It's like you post on LinkedIn. Some of the posts give you 3 engagement, 4 likes, 5 likes. And one of the posts suddenly gives you 200 likes. It is because you're posting it consistently. You never know which post can really go viral and give you more popularity or more visibility. So I think it's more about those two things. If you can combine those two things, that you have a different mindset that I will just come out of that comfort zone and take steps to grow myself. And the second one is to focus on your personal growth and personal development. I think those two things will really help you in getting better as an international student and immigrant, because a lot of international students, when I was a student advocate and I was a member on the academic board at UNSW, I feel like when people are coming from one country, say, for example, if you come from India, you would only talk to Indians. If you come from China, your only friends I would see are Chinese. So one of the things that I wanted to stress upon was that when you come to a new country, it's all about, you know, trying out something new, making new friends. And that's what you should be doing instead of just roaming around the people from the same country.
Yeah. What have been the techniques, I guess, that you've used for that personal growth? What are some of the things that you've done that you really attribute to seeing yourself continue to grow as a person?
I think one of the things that I've already pointed out is like thinking differently, thinking more creatively, making sure that you are passionate to do something. So if you're really passionate to do what you're doing at your job, or If you're passionate to run a podcast, to write a book, to start a venture, to become an investor, to start reading books, I know there's a guy called Mohit Rao from Adelaide. He's a really interesting immigrant I interviewed on my podcast before. He's on a mission to read 150 books. He's already read more than 100 books, which is incredible. So that's his passion. So I think number one step is just to identify what your passion is and then just stay consistent on that passion. Make sure you're showing some consistency and also taking some steps every day to just come out of your comfort zone and grow yourself. So those are the traits of a growth mindset that you should be possessing to make yourself be a bit different. And coming back to your visa thing, look, I'm going to be frank enough with you. I was very lucky in getting a permanent residency within 4 years of staying in Sydney. I know a lot of people, they have been here for 10 plus years. They're still struggling to find a way to get a PR. Mm. I just applied for every visa at the right time. And I called my immigration agent at the right time. She gave me the right advice at the right time. So for me, it was just that if somebody told me, just go for it, I would never say a no to them. So I'm a very, this is one of my weaknesses as well. If somebody says, oh, let's grab a coffee. Yeah, let's do it. So I'm now kind of figuring it out. How can I start saying no to people? Because I always feel like if you start saying yes to everyone, like to you as well, you know, saying a yes to a podcast when I know that, oh, I'm working from 9 to 5. But I'm like, you know, this guy's really curious, running a great podcast. Let's do it. Let's do it with him. But sometimes, as you can also understand, Alex, you might be having a lot of priorities during the week that you have to kind of, at the end of the day, say no to some people and like, in a very mindful way, look, you know, there's nothing against you, but I just don't have time in this week for you. And that's it. Sometimes you have to prioritize things in life.
Yeah, it's. I think everyone has that struggle on some levels, though some people might lean more to they struggle to say yes and they need to say yes more. Other people, they struggle to say no and they need to say no more. And yeah, you're always trying to find that and struggle that. But it does, when you start to push yourself in that area, though, it pushes you to say yes with intention. And I'm saying yes to something because I see the value in it. I'm not just doing it to keep someone else happy or trying to please people, that sort of thing. But then a lot of that also then comes back to understanding, well, what do I want to be doing with my time and my life? And that allows you to, when you get that clarity, it helps you to sort of siphon through what you say yes and no to. And yeah, like I've probably had people that have offered to come on the show that it sort of hasn't quite been the right fit. And then other people I'm asking, and then maybe I'm not the right fit for them, and that's all good. You just keep chipping away, and the right people will come at the right time. And there was one guest actually, I'm disappointed we haven't been able to do an episode. I've had a couple of guests actually that we've wanted to do an episode and our tech won't work. And it won't work together for some reason. Our computers just don't like each other. And one lady was saying, she's like, that's all good. This mustn't be the right time for us, and the right time will come. And so that's a good way to look at it as well. If you don't have to overstress if things aren't coming together on the exact timeline that you're hoping for. So on the immigration application process, a lot of us, like myself, wouldn't even know what that looks like. And it was also coming back to the resilience piece for me. How resilient do you feel you need to be? I know you're feeling like you were lucky because it only took 4 years, but at the same time, that's a significant period of time to not have full certainty of where your life's going and going to end up, and are you going to end up having to go back to India and all this. Like, I'm assuming you'd have those questions going through your mind as you're working through that process.
Yeah, look, as I said, I was a bit lucky in that sense. A lot of people, they just try to change their job profession, or some immigration agent would advise them that leave the capital cities, leave Sydney and Melbourne, go to a regional area because that will give you a better opportunity to get a PR, because there are a lot of regional permanent residency options these days. As you know, that Sydney and Melbourne and Brisbane, they're all already too full with too many people. That's why they're trying to push people into those regional areas. But the unfortunate thing is the Australian government and also the state governments haven't invested enough in those regional areas. So even though they are trying to send people there to get a permanent residency, what those people end up doing is once they get a PR, they would again move back to the capital city because they see that there is no job opportunity or there is no relevant infrastructure, not enough facilities for them to really think of living there or, you know, thinking of their long-term future in that particular area because it's not that developed. So if anybody from the Australian government is also listening to this episode, I think they should be investing more in those regional areas, focus on the infrastructure of those areas as well, not only Sydney, Melbourne, and Brisbane. Because if you try to bring people from outside who are skilled, you send them to a regional area to get a PR, they're not going to stay there for more than 3 years. Once they get a PR, they just move out and move to the capital city because they just don't like it and they can't see their future there. Yeah. That's what I feel.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. There's definitely a lot of challenges there to be worked through.
And you need to be resilient in that process, to answer your question. You need to be really resilient in that process and stay focused. There will be days where you're just getting rejected on your jobs. I was always getting rejected after I graduated from UNSW Sydney. I was on a bridging visa. Always had to justify employers that, look, hey, I'm on a bridging visa. I'm about to get my temporary visa, and every employer is looking for a citizen or permanent resident. So if they don't get that clarity, even if you are skilled enough, even if you have got all the knowledge in this world, they're not going to hire you because they don't want to get into that hassle of sponsoring anyone if they don't have any surety that you're getting a PR or citizenship. And at that point, I didn't have a surety when I was applying for jobs. I was very lucky to get into this company called Zenzai because I had a rapport with the person who was hiring for this position. And we had really good interviews and rounds, and they ended up selecting me despite me not having a PR and despite me not giving them any clarity on my permanent residency status. And I told them on the interview, frankly, I don't have a PR at the moment. I've applied for it. I'm expecting it to come by next year. Every employer just rejected me on this basis. They didn't. And I'm still with them because, you know, I'm pretty lucky that I joined them because I think they have got a really, really good company culture and they've got a really exciting product which they're working on.
Yes, we'll talk a bit about that. What is it? What's your role look like and what Sensei do?
So I'm a sales executive. So what I do is I handle sales for Australia and New Zealand. It's a global business. It has got around 227 employees spread globally in different countries. They've got around 100 people in the States, around 100 in Europe, and then only 10 of us are here in Australia supporting the Australia and New Zealand clients. So there's a mix of people here in our Australian team. We've got sales, technical support engineers, customer success managers. Everyone has got a different role. My role is more towards sales, selling new clients, getting new clients, coordinating with the SDRs on any inbound leads, doing my own outreach activities through meetups. So we have been organizing different sort of meetups for HR and L&D people. So our product is mainly for HR and L&D people. So we do meetups for them. We have been doing some podcasts and I use a lot of LinkedIn to also reach out to people. Pretty similar to your role, Alex, I guess.
Yeah. No, that sounds really good. And but you hadn't originally seen yourself being in sales, had you?
I haven't. I think I was more into consulting, as I told you. My interest was more into consulting. Tech sales was something which landed because I found that founder and he said, you've got a B2B sales role, which if you want to experiment out, would be happy to offer you on a part-time basis and see how you go. And if you're finding interesting and if I enjoy your company, we can also work in the long run. So I ended up working for that startup for 3 years, but unfortunately, because they didn't have enough money to pay me after I was graduating from the uni, I had to leave that company and then look out for some other opportunities. But look, I was always happy about my role there and I love their product just because the startup was not having sufficient growth that I was expecting, I had to switch to another company.
And then your podcast, talk to me about it. What's your goals for the podcast? What's the focus of?
So the podcast is called The Ultimate Global Podcast. So the podcast is more about sharing stories of inspiring individuals, pretty similar to your podcast, Alex. So we invite people from all walks of life. It can be CEOs, founders, co-founders, salespeople, politicians. We've had politicians like Victor Dominello, Jody McKay on the podcast. We've also had some really, really cool startup founders such as Michael Batko from Startmate, a lot of other people as well from the startup world. I've interviewed a lot of people who have just started something of their own, because it's always good to see how like new founders think about new ideas and how they come up with that new idea, what sort of challenges they face in raising money. For established firms, because they're already well structured, so their challenges are way different than a startup or a smaller company. So
yeah,
always feel like you get motivated by those CEOs and founders who have just started something of their own.
They're in that, and they're often people, right, that challenge the normal way of doing things, and so they're obviously, it's very interesting for curious people like yourself. Saurabh, thank you so much for coming on. How can people find you if someone wants to go for a walk with you or catch up for a coffee or just follow along with the podcast? How can they get in touch?
I think the best way to get in touch is on LinkedIn. So if you're going to tag this on LinkedIn, and if you tag me on LinkedIn, just go to my LinkedIn profile, send me a connection request with a message that you would love to know more about the podcast, or you would love to know more about the Meetupbox. I would accept your invite and possibly reply back to you within 24 hours, if not later than that.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was a really good chat, and all the best.
Thank you so much, Alex, for inviting. Talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for joining me today. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And let's connect on LinkedIn so that we can keep the conversation going. Or head to my website and download my free resource, The Career Building Principles. Bye for now.